I want you to take heart because the anchor never moves. It never moves. It's always secure. And here's the beautiful thing, and not to get too complicated with you tonight, because here's the promised hope. That Jesus, the Bible says in the NIV that he's our forerunner, that he went into God's presence, into the most holy place in our behalf. And he's holding the chain that we're holding to. He's our anchor and he's got the chain and he's pulling us now, from now until the time we die, he's pulling us into the very presence of God so that one day in reality, we will walk into the throne room of God and bask in his glory and cry what we did tonight, holy, holy, holy. Here's the wonderful thing about God being good. He's good when you're not. Isn't that amazing? I grew up in the Northwest. I'm an Oregon boy. I was born in Kirkland, Washington, raised in the greater Portland area. So I did a lot of hunting and fishing back before Portland got granola. But anyways, one of the things that used to happen all the time is I would go sturgeon fishing on the Columbia Gorge. And the river right below Bonneville Dam, and the current there is crazy. If you don't know what a sturgeon is, they're gigantic, like prehistoric fish. And we would go take the boat up, me and my friend, and we would take the boat up. We were just teenagers. It was crazy what parents let us do back then. We took the boat up to the dam, and when you threw the anchor off the front of the boat, the bow of the boat, one guy would throw the anchor off, and there was this giant floating bubble, if you will, that was to mark where the anchor was. And one guy stood beside the guy throwing the anchor off with a knife at the ready, because the current was so strong that if you didn't secure it correctly to the anchor, the bow of the boat would hit the current water and the water would rush and flip the boat and the boat would sink almost immediately. It was quite treacherous, but man, what a rush. Luckily, we never sank the boat and we didn't cut off anybody's fingers, but you did need to secure the anchor properly. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is your anchor? What do you have your life anchored to? What's the one thing that's a stable source of comfort and foundation to you? What's your anchor? We need to have our anchor secured correctly, don't we? It needs to be secured. And I found that oftentimes in life, especially now that I've been pastoring for a little while now, that it's easy for us humans that when the currents of life start to get a little rowdy, oftentimes we cut the anchor prematurely. I'm kind of done with this. The Bible describes Jesus as being the anchor of our souls. We're going to read about it in a minute. And what I want to talk to you about tonight as we continue this series, Stay the Course, is this really important topic for all of us, and that's that you need to hold on to your anchor. Everyone say, hold on. You need to not let go. The Bible describes it in so many different ways. It says, finish to the end. Don't quit. Don't grow weary. Hold on to your anchor. And as we look at the book of Hebrews, we're going to dive into that just for a few minutes and understand what that really means in our life. So Hebrews chapter 6, here's what it says. We do not want you to become lazy. Everyone say, don't be lazy. No Christian should be lazy. There's no place for laziness or complacency in the kingdom of God. We're on a mission. Says, don't be lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name saying, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. He would never change his mind. So God was given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, since all of those things are true, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Everyone say strong. Trustworthy. Anchor for our souls. It leads us through this curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us, and he has become our eternal priest in the order of Melchizedek. I'll explain a little bit more in weeks to come who Melchizedek was and why he was such a cool guy. He's very, pastors geek out on him. It's true. It's like a weird, like, pastoral geek out affair with this guy. But he's an important character, and why he's significant, we'll get into it. But not tonight. The question is, how do we, I know, so sad. Well, if you wanted to, like, somebody wanted to go order dessert, well, I can preach two messages tonight. And we can, I don't know, I heard a lot of your kids screaming as they were going to Fusion Kids, so I don't know if that's going to work. The question we have tonight is this: how do we hold on to our anchor? How do we do that? I can say this, and I can be cliche about it, and I can, you know, tell you all these, you know, churchy things, but the real brass tacks of it, the real ground floor of it, the roots of it, the bottom level is, how do I do it? How do I do it from Monday to Monday? When I get Sunday, and I'm on first Wednesday service, and worship's awesome, and I'm like, yeah, I love Jesus, and Thursday, I'm like, gosh, that life just sucks. How do I do it? Because the temptation is, in all of our lives, is to cut the anchor. I can do it on my own. I can navigate the current. I can navigate the rapids by myself. I don't need God. We do it more often than I think we care to admit. An anchor, if it's not secured properly, will drag. If you've ever had, my dad grew up, when we grew up, my dad had aluminum boats. We would go fishing all the time. And if you didn't have it anchored properly, the boat would often drift. Super frustrating when you're trying to fish. But if you anchor the boat correctly, and it's connected to a solid bedrock and holds the ship secure so that it's not subject to the current and the wind and the waves and all of the things that would cause it to move off course, you need an anchor to stay the course. You need an anchor to stay where God has you. You need it to hold fast. So how do we do that? I want you to write this down tonight. You need to anchor yourself in God's word. You need to anchor yourself in God's word. Look what the writer says. He says, "We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, 'I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number.' Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised." If you're not familiar with the Old Testament story of Abraham, the father of faith, is he had no children when God made this promise to him. He had no family. He desperately wanted a family, and they were getting older. The clock was ticking. And God comes down and says, "Listen, I'm gonna bless you, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you, and you're going to have a great family, and it's going to be like the stars in the sky, Abraham. It's going to be awesome." And Abraham could have cut the anchor and said, "Nah, I don't think that's really going to happen." But he chose to believe God and trust in God and not waver, and he stayed the course even after waiting over two decades for God to fulfill his promise. Abraham believed God, and God credited to him his righteousness. And so when the Bible says, "I want you to follow those examples," we look throughout all Scripture and all the wonderful people who stayed the course and kept their anchors secure in the promises of God. In fact, Romans tells us about all the stories in Scripture. It says, "For everything that was written in the past," all the Old Testament stories, and for us, even all the New Testament stories, "was written to teach us so that through the endurance, through the keeping your anchors secure, taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And we need that hope, don't we? It's absolutely essential that we have hope, lest we give into despair. So we have to really put ourselves in this position where we're saying, "God, I want to put my anchor in your word." In other words, I'm putting my anchor in your promises, that your promises are always going to come true. And I look through the word of God at the promises of God for those who believe in him and put their faith in him. God gives us promises, and he says, "Listen, I'm always going to hold true to my word, because God always keeps his word." Anybody here ever broken a promise? Yeah, I know who you are. "I'll show up to church on time. I'll be there." Yeah, I know who you are. Was that too low? Somebody like, "Yeah, my feelings are hurt." Well, God keeps his word. We don't, because we oftentimes fail to keep our word. We oftentimes back out. We wait till the last minute. I'll come unless I get a better offer. We do all kinds of things to keep, you know, to not keep our word. But God always keeps his word. This is why God's so much different and so great, so much greater than we are, because he always keeps his word. And when I read his word and I put my anchor in his word, I can trust what he says, because he's never failed to keep a promise, and Abraham is the proof. Look at that, and we say, man, God always keeps his word. Maybe you're here today and you've been waiting for God to fulfill something in your life. You've been praying about something. You've been seeking God about something. You say, God, I need a miracle. I need you to do something in my life. And you've just been trying to work it out. And like, well, and you're so tempted. Well, maybe God's not going to come through, and you want to cut that anchor. You're like, no, I'm just going to drift and just kind of go along with the current, go along with the tide, and I'm not going to actually give myself to it. Just wait patiently. Be patient. The prophet Isaiah said this about those aspects of our life. He said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait, everyone say wait, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who trust in God's promises, that God's always going to keep his word, he's always going to fulfill what he promises, those people will renew their strength. They'll mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Patient hope is God's waiting room for great things. It's where you're waiting, but God says, okay, not now. And maybe what you're asking for is not ever, but God's going to take you to something better. Sometimes the thing you're waiting for maybe is something that God doesn't want in your life at all. But you stay anchored to his word and anchored to his promise, and you say the greatest prayer we can pray as believers, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Unless we force a promise that God never intended us to have. God's about to do something in your life and in his own timing. But we can look to the word, and the prophet Isaiah said this about God's word and why we can anchor to it. He says, and he uses, I love how he uses, you know, natural analogy for us to understand it. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So, God says, is the word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know why? Because God always keeps his word. It's a trustworthy place to put the anchor of my life. Amen. And it keeps me from wavering and going off course. How do we hold on to our anchor? You need to anchor yourself not only in God's word, but in God's character. God's character. Let's remind ourselves what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. I'm just going to stop right there for a second. If you know Jesus today and you've been around church even, you know, for, you know, a month or so, you're going to know, at least at Fusion, that you don't work for your salvation. It's a free gift of God, but you have to put your faith in him, and because of that faith, you're saved, right? Aren't you so glad that God doesn't, like, renege on salvation? Nah, just kidding. Decided, no, I didn't want you around for all eternity. He goes, so God has given us his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. My wife Laura and I, we watch the show Survivor. And if you've ever seen it, it's about a group of people who are stuck on an island and they've got to compete in some challenges and whatnot. And they basically have to lie to each other a lot. They have to manipulate each other a lot. And it never fails that at some point within the show, someone is asked, okay, yeah, we're going to be in an alliance. We're going to be buddies and we're going to try and win the game together. And he says, okay, swear it. Swear it and make me believe it. He goes, okay, and then they'll say something like, I swear it on my mother's grave. You ever heard that before? On my mom's grave. I swear it on my child's life. And they say these things, and really they don't mean anything because they just are saying it until somebody else convinces them otherwise, or they just change their mind. But here, God is different than humans, because when God makes an oath and he says, I promise by who I am, by my character, because there is no greater person to hold a promise than God himself. And so when God makes a promise, he makes it on the basis of his character. And his character is always true, always right, and unwavering. And so when I anchor the source of my life and the foundation of my faith in the character of God, I can be true to it because I can understand that God's not like a shifting shadow. He doesn't think one way and go the other way. He doesn't say one thing and do something else. He's always consistent because he's always God. He can't ever not be God. In the book of Numbers, it says this, God's not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The answer is no. I mean, how many times have you had a friend say, oh yeah, I'm gonna go with you to that place, and then at the last minute they cancel? And then you find out that they just decided to go do something with somebody else. God's not like that. God's character demands that he always is true to himself. He's always true to his word. And so when we look at Christ being the anchor of our souls, we recognize that God keeps his promises. The one reason that he keeps his promises is that his character is always true. He's never fake or phony. You ever talk to somebody and you just think to yourself, are you really being real with me right now? Is this person for real? You're way too nice. I know there's a mean side somewhere, and it's going to come out. That's not how God is. God's character and his word are the chain links, the unbreakable chain links in our anchor. Because his word is always true and his character is always right. Because that's who he is. He's unchangeable in those aspects. If we're going to hold on to our anchor, you need to write this down because this is absolutely essential. You need to anchor yourself in God's Son. Look at this. Look at this, what the writer said. He said, therefore, because of all these things, because God's faithful to his word, because character never changes, because when he says an oath and he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Therefore, because of this, we, that's us, who have fled to him for refuge, for hope, for help, have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. In other words, the promises of God are going to come true in our life. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, and it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. Everyone say, for me. For me. For us. And he has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. In other words, there's this great principle in Scripture that because God is all those things, now our hope that lies in Jesus is absolutely secure because of what Jesus did on the cross and his ascension into heaven and his walking into the most holy place into God's presence on our behalf now gives us this secure, confident hope that whatever God promised because of his Son Jesus Christ will come true. And if I keep my anchor secure in him, then all those things will come true for me. In other words, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Think of it like this. When the United States Navy makes an aircraft carrier, they have to build an anchor. And they have to get the right anchor. And the anchor is 30,000 pounds. And when they have the anchor made and it's shipped to them, the weight of the anchor is stamped on it, 30,000 pounds. They want to make sure they have the right anchor for the ship because that's a lot of ship to hold. That's a lot of swaying and waves and ups and downs and possible, you know, catastrophic situations. If the anchor doesn't hold, I want to make sure I have a 30,000-pound anchor and not a 30-pound anchor. You know what I'm talking about? If they sent the captain a 30-pound anchor, he'd be like, well, we need a couple more of these. But a 30,000-pound anchor attached to 1,400 feet of chain, and think of it like this. All those chain links are the promises of God, and your anchor is stamped not with 30,000 pounds, but your anchor is stamped with Jesus Christ. And it says he's the one who's strong enough to hold us in the situations in life when we're unsure what's going on. Man, the waves might be beating me, and the squall might be coming, and the wind might be blowing, and the rain might be coming, and the pirates might even be coming up to the ship. But my anchor is holding secure. Why? Because it's anchored in the Son of the living God. And so as we think about that in our life, we have to be careful not to let things come into our life where we're just ready to cut the anchor and just drift on in life and just kind of not be attached to what God's will and purpose is in our life. We have that anchor, and his name is Jesus Christ. Romans says this about it: because of that faith, because of our faith in Jesus, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We don't deserve it, but yet we have this promise, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and the endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, because our anchor is secure in Jesus Christ. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In other words, think of it like this: because of everything that God has promised, even though we might go through trials and troubles, and Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, I want you to take heart, because I've overcome. In other words, let me put this in the Zachary translation: I want you to take heart, because the anchor never moves. It never moves. It's always secure. And here's the beautiful thing, and not to get too complicated with you tonight, because here's the promised hope: that Jesus, the Bible says in the NIV, that he's our forerunner, that he went into God's presence, into the most holy place, in our behalf. And he's holding the chain that we're holding to. He's our anchor, and he's got the chain, and he's pulling us now, from now until the time we die, he's pulling us into the very presence of God, so that one day, in reality, we will walk into the throne room of God and bask in his glory and cry what we did tonight: holy, holy, holy. If we hold on to the anchor, don't let go. Stay the course. Do what you need to do. Get that white knuckle grip on Jesus. And don't let go until he calls you home.